This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Melissa Idris and Khoo Soo Chong with the top business stories of the day. But before we get to that, just a quick reminder, after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we have the Breakfast Grill. And our guest this morning is Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki. He's the youth chief of UMNO. And Melissa, you're going to be speaking to him.
I am. And if you remember, he was also the former deputy minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of religious affairs. So that's going to be quite interesting. I mean, this, I think his win at the UMNO party polls as youth chief really kind of signifies that perhaps grassroots members had wanted a change because, you know, Dr. Ashraf is slightly unknown, well, wouldn't say unknown, a bit of an outsider to that wing specifically, not aligned to any one camp in UMNO. And UMNO, you know, famously has issues of factionalism within that party, which party doesn't, right? But so that's one thing we're going to be talking about. Also, Sungai Kandis by-election, that's huge, going to happen, I think, August 4th. So we'll get his thoughts on the viability or the likelihood of BN candidate Lokman Adam's win in this by-election.
I'm actually quite keen to hear his views on this kind of, like, I guess, dichotomy between the whole old guard and Zahid Hamidi and what he represents, and the whole KJ new direction for UMNO issue. It'd be quite interesting because he's representing UMNO youth, you see.
Right. But I don't think there's only one new direction. There are probably multiple new directions.
The problem is if it pulls in different direction, then what happens to the party?
Well, the party then, you know, decides on a consensus, right? I mean, parties have to deal with their own, parallel tendencies, I guess, and find some sort of middle ground. Okay, so that's the subject of what's going to be a very exciting grill this morning after the 8 o'clock bulletin. Now, let's come back to that story that we've been covering all morning, which is the offer to resign by the board of Khazana Nacional. We, of course, just to reiterate, yesterday Khazana confirmed that the board had delivered undated letters of resignation. It is accompanied by the statement that they were supportive of the government's prerogative to make those decisions. But it also came at the, hot on the heels of a story that was broken by the Straits Times Singapore that had that coming from sources within or close to Khazana Nacional,
which have been confirmed by Khazana.
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is now we've got the entire board of Khazana submitting an undated resignation letter. So they haven't actually resigned per se. They've given their letters en masse.
It's an offer to resign.
It's an offer to resign. Mm. It's an undated. The issue is, the whole issue is in this new era of Malaysia Baru, and the fact that I think there have been reports from different sources that Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar, the chief honcho of Khazana, has been trying to get a meeting with Tun Mahathir, the Prime Minister, about what he actually meant by his statements that Khazana's lost its way. Apparently, this meeting never took place. He's been in a way stonewalled, for want of a better word. And I guess by and large realize that Khazana and the whole GLIC structure needs to be relooked at and analyzed in terms of what their real ethos and raison d'etre is. Equally, should Mahathir have been stonewalling Azman Mokhtar?
Yeah,
because they should have met and had a chat.
I agree with you. So if this is in fact true, in fact, we're also hearing sources citing that Tan Sri Wahid Omar, formerly of PNB, was also not granted an appointment with Tun Dr. Mahathir. So if this is in fact true, you use the word stonewall, I use the word cold storage. I'm not sure what's happening, but I do think this is not really kind of good management practice. You know, if you're the new boss, you want to get as much insight from people who are essentially your chief investment officers. You know, people in charge of GLICs are the people who are your chief investment officers. You would want to hear from them.
Well, okay, so let's put some timelines on this. It's been 2 months since the new government came to power. They've had a range of priorities. Now, if Dr. Mahathir has not met with Azman Mokhtar, was it because, you know, you know, that was going well. And, you know, he was because the question of stonewalling is interesting. It's a spin on the attitude. It's the assumption that this is a play, a power play by the new prime minister in order to signal to the board that he's unhappy with them. Well, I think that is, seems yeah. to be the suggestion.
That is
right?
a suggestion. I mean, if
but what if he was busy with other things and his priorities not
well,
there?
Well, then well clearly he said it. He said that Khazana had deviated from its original
so he
mandate,
did make,
right?
He did make that statement, and that was... So the question is, and I think this is part of the larger story about what is operating here, the kind of pressure that's being brought upon heads of government agencies to... Read the tea leaves, as it were, and then do the appropriate thing. Fall on their swords, as it were.
Can I? Okay, let's have some reasonable assumptions here. And I'm just, of course, these are assumptions, but they're reasonable in the larger scheme of things, right? Number one, that the Prime Minister is unhappy with Khazana because he feels that the Sovereign Wealth Fund has lost its way. Secondly, that the Board of Directors have not resigned per se, they've just offered to resign. Thirdly, and a lot of people in the community believe that Khazana needs to relook its structure because clearly there's a lot of monopolistic structures within the fold which have led to... or which have led to perceptions of leakages. And fourthly, this whole issue about the board of directors potentially leaving, being injurious to the listed entities, not necessarily, because a lot of them, in fact, all of them have professional managers on board. I guess the large question is where this leaves Khazana and where this whole issue leaves GLICs, because it's not just Khazana. It's also the PNBs of this world,
sure.
The LTATs of this world, the Co-ops of this world.
I think, you know, the offer to resign in that letter, they also said that, you know, this is they wanted to leave it up to the Prime Minister to decide how Khazana should be run, right? For me, that in itself is troubling because I don't think one man should be deciding who runs Khazana. I don't think, you know, this is something that should be decided behind closed doors. There should be a committee that is set up, or it should be discussed in Parliament or made transparent the criteria of who should be running the biggest sovereign wealth fund in Malaysia. If not, then what is stopping us from falling down, you know, other bad sovereign wealth fund experiences?
Because the fear is that you're just supplanting one, you know, numero uno with another numero
uno. So you want
uno.
That kind of committee, that open, you know, parliamentary select committee or some kind of a form of oversight over GLCs and GLICs, you know, moving them from the Ministry of Finance to the Ministry of Economic Affairs, that's just shuffling one hand to the other. We want more transparency and openness as to who exactly should be running Khazana.
Right. So academic Edmund Terence Gomez, in fact, agrees with you, Melissa.
Oh, I think I agree with him. I think he made the point first, and I'm just agreeing
yeah.
with
so
him.
This is it. So I think the new Malaysia is an opportunity for a larger discussion, opening up the discussion again about how things are done. And if people voted, whatever the reasons for their vote, one of the reasons clearly was they didn't want business as usual when it comes to governance in this country. So what exactly can happen at this point in time? The offer of the resignations, it makes it easy for the government of the day to just move if they choose to go with some of the board or none of the old board and institute a whole new board. The other questions, as you mentioned, Melissa, have yet to be determined, right? What it would be the new way of doing business with the GLCs. And as Jen Menon mentioned earlier this morning, you know, what went wrong with the reform process of the GLCs? Why is it that they ended up, in fact, taking a larger share of the economy when, in fact, they were trying to divest?
That's right. And this whole GLC divestment program, I remember back in the day when Pat Lau, Prime Minister, and they were talking about how government should be smaller in business and should get out of business. In fact, in the 14 years subsequent, Khazana's gotten bigger and bigger, and there was a bit of a steely taste in one's mouth when they announced their blue books and the red books on how they had gotten bigger and bigger in size. Well, of course you're going to get bigger in size because you've got monopolistic structures in place. You know, with Tanaga, with airports, with CIMB, for example, IHH, for example, right?
Okay, we'll go on to the next story of the day. We're looking at airports. You just mentioned it.
Airports, Chuang. I mean, and you know, that's making headlines again this morning. Transport Minister Anthony Lok is saying that it's not going to be business as usual for the expansion of airports. I think the government is now saying, well, we're going to look at all the ways that we can save money. And one of the ways is to look at new financing models when it comes to expansion of airports. So the current model is that the federal government has to bear the cost for airport expansions. I didn't know this. I didn't know that the bill goes to the federal government when it comes to expanding airports.
That's right. And so obviously what happens is that, just quite aptly, Malaysia Airports is a Khazanah investee. I think the investment now has run about 44-45%. And Malaysia Airports has a stranglehold or a monopoly on the country's 39 airports, and of course a whole bunch of stalled airports in Sarawak, you know, short takeoff and landing airports. So the issue is whether the government is going to be in the dock for any new expansion. And don't forget, even existing airports need new capex and new refurb, like in Penang, like in Kota Kinabalu.
So this is a continuous process.
Yeah. So the issue is now whether the Malaysian government says, okay, no more monopoly for Malaysia airports. We're going to allow new airport operators into Malaysia to operate other airports. And, you know, other countries around the world, for example, in Stansted, in Istanbul, for example, they've got different airport operators.
But are we big enough for that? I mean, we're not exactly a large
but
country.
But that's beside the point. What is the point?
Competition is good, right? So right now, there isn't a lot of competition when it comes to airport management. In fact, I believe Malaysian Airports is the only
airport
operator here.
Okay, well, you know, tell us what you think. You'd always be part of this conversation. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. In fact, do send us your questions if you want to ask our breakfast grill, Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, UMNO Youth Chief. You want to ask him a question or, you know, send in a comment on where UMNO is going, please do so. Remember that Twitter handle as well as the WhatsApp. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin and then we'll be back. Melissa, you're going to be leading the grill, aren't you?
I will, yes.
Okay, stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.